Morning to each and every one of you. I hope you're having a blessed day. Amen. All right. The worst places you could be today, right? Amen. Amen. Stranded on the side of the road. What's another one? In jail. That's right. In the back of a cop car going to jail. I mean, a lot of worse places you could be today. This is a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Well, we're blessed to be together. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to begin reading here in verse 8 and take it through about verse 11. Short scripture reading today. And then say some comments here on spiritual gifts. And I think the point when we go through these messages on spiritual gifts, I think where we need to get is just real thankful. Thankful for the church. Thankful for our spiritual giftedness. Thankful that God would save us out of a sinner's hell and give us a gift to be exercised in the church. Amen? I mean, I don't think today I'm going to share with you just any real earth-shattering, epiphany-type information that you're just going to pinch yourself and go, am I dreaming? Am I really in this service today? This is just so wow. I don't think that's going to happen for you today. But what I think could happen for you is that you just be reminded of how blessed you are as a people. Amen? Every Sunday school teacher here, I'm putting the Sunday school teachers on the, kind of putting their feet to the fire, but every Sunday school teacher here ought to find themselves in the altar today. Anybody who's been given the gift to teach the word of wisdom coupled with the word of knowledge, you ought to find yourself down here. Anybody who has the gift of faith, well, I'm not quite sure I've got the gift of faith. When we go through it, hopefully that'll be more clear to you. You have the gift of faith. Friend, I want to tell you, you're special. I don't have that gift, the gift of faith. Now, I have faith unto salvation. I don't have the gift of faith. My wife does. And there's people in this church do. All these gifts go together. They connect with one another. They overlap. Church has got to have all of them to function. Amen? Let's all stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning here in verses 8 and taking it through verse 11. If you found that this morning, would you say, oh yeah? Oh, yeah. All right. God's Word reads here in verse 8, "For to one is given by the Spirit," that's the person of the Holy Spirit, "the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit," person of the Holy Spirit, "to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit," verse 10, "to another the working of miracles," to another prophecy, "to another discerning of spirits," to another "diverse kinds of tongues," this is other languages we're talking about, known languages, "to another the interpretation of tongues." This would be like you speak English, you've never heard Portuguese in your life, and you heard somebody speaking that, and you could tell somebody exactly what they said, all right? That's the interpretation of other languages. "By all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll begin making a crack at this passage here this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your love for us, Lord. We thank you for that salvation that we have in you. We thank you for this special today that the choir sang about. Three nails and two pieces of wood covered with your blood equals a bridge to God. And we're thankful for that today. Thank you for your shed blood on Calvary's cross. Thank you for your sacrifice for us. May we always give you the thanks and the worship and the praise that is due your name for saving us and setting us apart, for equipping us, for giving us a gift or gifts. We praise you today for that, Lord. Father God, we pray that the message today would elicit salvation in the lost man or woman's heart. And Father, we pray that your word being preached today would just bring about an attitude of gratitude and thankfulness out of this church body to you for the giftedness that we have in this place. Lord, you've blessed this church with so many gifts, with so many good folks, with so many folks that want to get busy and get involved in the different ministries of the church. We're thankful for that here this morning. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Boy, my day off started kind of this way. I take Fridays off, and after I dropped Trevor off at school here, I went back home, and I already had kind of my work clothes on, and I commenced to change in the transmission fluid and filter in my 01 Suburban. And so I bought that car back in I want to say 04. It's an 01. It was 3 years old, and we just thought it was a brand new car back then. And it looked pretty good for a 01, and had 50-something thousand miles on it. The transmission service, the fluid had already been changed in it. It had 52, 56, I can't remember. It's been a long time ago. But anyway, it had 50-something thousand miles. Transmission fluid was just red. I mean, it was good looking. Smelled great. Didn't smell burnt. So left it alone. But, you know, as we drove it and pulled boats with it and hauled around kids, it started to brown up a little bit. I remember probably 5 years ago, I climbed underneath it and I was going to tackle the job. You know what I'm talking about. This brother over here does. It had a drain bung on the pan. Anybody know what a drain bung is? You pull that out and the old fluid comes out. I couldn't get the drain bung out. You couldn't get it out. Couldn't get it out. From the factory, they put a little shallow 15-millimeter bolt up in there. You couldn't get a wrench to stick on that. You couldn't get a 12-point socket to sit on that. You couldn't get a six-sided socket to sit on that. You couldn't get nothing. Man, I tried putting a hydraulic jack underneath the ratchet to hold it on the 15-millimeter. It still wouldn't budge. All right? So that was 5 years ago. Guess what? Transmission fluid didn't get changed. All right? Fast forward to this past Friday. The transmission fluid's got 140,000 miles, 130-something thousand miles on it. I dare say it's time, right? So I backed her up, got it all level, right? Got underneath there, looked at that 15-millimeter nut, and I thought, you know, I'm not even going to attempt it. So I got up in the cabinet, right, my little tool cabinet, and I found a pump that I use for engine oil on boats so you don't have to dirty up your boat. And I cut an extra long piece of hose because we're not going in a crankcase. We're going all the way to the training. So you got to have more hose. And I ran that dude all the way down there in the transmission. I hooked up the little pump up to the battery because it's 12-volt. Kicked it on. Nothing. Nothing. You know why it was nothing, don't you? We're too far from the source. Not enough suction. It's a little cheap $30 pump. It's not one like they have at the shop. So what's a brother to do? What's a brother to do? Well, I reached into my bag of tricks one more time. I went to my wife's cabinet, and I found the Wesson oil. And I poured a half a cup of Wesson oil in a cup. And remember them bulbs that they give you at the hospital when you have babies? To suck all the snot out of their nose? I've never thrown those away. Those are in my tool cabinet. I looked at each one of those as those kids got old enough and we weren't sucking snot out of their nose anymore. I said, I'm going to be able to use that one day. That's high dollar. No telling how much those things cost. I bet they're $100 when you get them from the hospital. So I took that snot sucker and I put it in that half cup of Wesson. And I filled that bulb up. And then I took that pump, and I pulled the hose off, and I laid it on its side, and I primed that pump. And then I screwed the hose back on. And I hit go. And the transmission fluid made it about 3/4 of the way. And then I lost my prime, and guess what? Transmission fluid fell back again. So I said, there's another way around this deal. So I primed it again. I got as far as I could get it. And then I pinched the hose. And then with the other hand, I got it all off, primed it again, put it back together, turned it back on. Finally got the training fluid up and out of there. Only 3.5 quarts. But at least enough, I'm not going to paint the driveway with training fluid and have my HOA all over me, right? Don't you love your HOA? Amen. Got to love your HOA. All right. So got that done. Finally got the pan off. Finally got the pan off. And something just kept bugging me about the pan. The old 15-millimeter stripped nut. It was just screaming to be changed. It was just calling out to me, you got to take me out. I don't belong here. I don't work. I'm inoperative. So I thought, how am I going to get that dude out of there? Well, my brain started working. I go, let's put a welder on it. So I rolled out the MIG, drug out the 50-foot extension cord, ran it all the way to the breaker box because I don't have a plug in my garage. Right? Poor thing. Amen. Spooled it up, turned the gas on, got the MIG fired up. I had a 9/16, just a trash bolt in my little miscellaneous bag, and welded that on there. Took it back to the vise, chalked it up with some wood so I wouldn't tear up my transmission pan. Tightened it all down. Guess what? 9/16 too small. It wouldn't budge. Started stripping it out. Probably because I changed the temper of it when I welded it. I thought, man, there's another way around this deal. So I found a 3/4-inch nut. The ladies are going, I wish this would get over. Amen? I found a 3/4-inch nut. I welded that dude on there. Put him back in the vise. Put the deep socket in the 1/2-inch breaker bar on him. And guess what? She came out. Drove to AutoZone. I said, I need a new one of these. They couldn't find it in the parts list. So, well, what am I going to do? Oh, we got a section. So we walked over there. This will work. It was too long. I took it home. I put it on a grinder and shortened it. And then I rounded the sides. And then I put it back in and put it all back together. 6 hours later, the pan is back on the car. And I put transmission fluid back in it. But you can't get all the transmission fluid out of a transmission if you just drop the pan. So I pulled the cooler hoses off the radiator. And I put 2 pieces of hose on each one and started the car. Figured out which line was coming from the transmission. And I found it. And then I put that line in a 5-gallon bucket and I pumped all the old yucky 130-something thousand fluid out of it. Topped it off with fresh fluid. Now, how does a preacher know how to do all that? Man, I've been turning wrenches since I was 14 and a half. I've been tearing stuff up that long and putting it back together. Right? I tell you all that to tell you this. That is not a spiritual gift. Some people would call that insanity. That's just flat crazy. That's not a spiritual gift. You know what that is? That's a talent. That's a talent. I was able to think mechanically and do mechanical stuff long before I got saved. Long before I got saved. Now, hey, I think God's refined it, and I don't say near as many bad words when I'm doing it after salvation. Amen? But that's not a what? Not a spiritual. See, what I'm talking about in these series of messages transcends all of this talent stuff. When I look out at this church, I see a lot of talented people. I see a lot of gifted people. I see a lot of folks using their talents to serve the Lord in this church. What I'm wanting you to see, folks, there's another chapter to the book. There's another chapter to the book. There's another gear to hit. There's something else to do. And it deals with our spiritual giftedness. Amen? That's what it deals with. That's what it deals with. See, when the church ministers its spiritual gifts as it should, I mean, when she's really firing on all 8 cylinders, when she's really going great guns, at least 4 important blessings occur. Now, over the next several messages, I want to share each of these blessings with you. The first of the 4 blessings that happens
When the congregation is exercising its spiritual gifts, you know what the blessing is? The blessing is the blessing. Number one, the blessing. When you exercise your spiritual gift, when you know what it is, and you exercise it, and when I exercise my spiritual gift, when we exercise these gifts together, all of the church together, a blessing comes. And the blessing comes to the individual, but the blessing overlaps. My blessing becomes your blessing, and your blessing becomes my blessing, and we all become just a bunch of blessed people. Now that's better than the alternative, isn't it? To not have any blessing going on. I take the blessing. I take it. Now what I want to help you with is that we don't seek the blessing. Let's just seek to please God by exercising our spiritual gift. And if we'll do that, let's don't feel guilty when the blessing comes. Amen? I'm not wanting to feel guilty about being blessed. Do you want to feel guilty about being blessed? Anybody? Anybody want to feel guilty? Anybody want to feel guilty for being blessed? I don't want to feel guilty for that. I don't seek a blessing. What do I seek? I seek to please Almighty God. And as I seek to please Almighty God and you seek to please Almighty God, let's let the blessings of God flow, church. Amen? A couple of things we got to talk about as we get going here. What do spiritual gifts do? That's a big question. What do they do? Well, you said it's about blessing. Well, but they do some other things besides that. What do spiritual gifts do? Well, let's think it through. What do spiritual gifts do? Spiritual gifts fill two major purposes. Two major purposes. Purpose number one, the permanent gifts edify the church. Permanent gifts. Everybody say permanent. Permanent. The temporary gifts, there are some gifts that are no longer in practice today. The temporary gifts were sign gifts to confirm the Word of God, to confirm it. See, God will continue to give permanent gifts to believers for the duration of the church age. When is the church age over? When He raptures the church, the church age will be over. He's not done that. We're still in the church age. And those gifts are to be ministered by His people at all times in the life of the church. So friend, if you have a spiritual gift and you're not exercising it, the question is, why not? Why not? Well, nobody's ever told me I should. I'm telling you, you should. The Bible's telling you, you should. Yeah, but I don't want anybody to know I have that gift. I don't want to really fine-tune that gift. I don't want to hone that gift. Man, if I do that, it's just going to change the whole landscape of my existence. Yeah, that's pretty much it. But man, the church needs your gift, your spiritual gift. It brings people to Christ when you exercise it. It edifies the body. It blesses you when you get in on the game. And we can say amen to that, right? Amen. See, permanent and temporary gifts can be divided into three little categories here. The first one is teaching gifts. The second one, you're going to like this one. The second one is supernatural gifts. Everybody say supernatural. Oh, we're going to like that one. Supernatural gifts. And this third category is communicative gifts. So you've got teaching, you've got supernatural, you've got communicative gifts. The gifts that we've mentioned here this morning, teaching gifts include wisdom and knowledge. Let's see here. Supernatural gifts include faith, healing, and miracles. We're going to talk a lot about healing tonight, if you'll come back for that. Communicative gifts include prophecy, spirit discernment, other languages, and interpretation of other languages. And within the supernatural and communicative gifts is that subgroup called temporary sign gifts. They were limited to the apostolic age, and therefore, since there are no apostles left, they are no longer in practice. Now, you may have driven by a church where the pastor is the apostle such and such.
or the apostle and his wife, the bishop, such and such, right? And that's all fine and good, but I'm telling you, there are no more apostles. They're gone. They're all with Jesus today. They're in the presence of the Lord, all right? So with the passing of them, these temporary sign gifts have ceased. Everybody say cease. That's called a cessationist position. Now, you have friends that you work with and go to school with, and you'll get into heated debates whether or not some of these gifts have ended or are still in practice. If you go to a church where they practice other languages and the interpretation of those other languages, that is a church that holds a continuationist position. In other words, they're saying these apostolic temporary sign gifts have not ceased with the passing of the apostles, and that we as church members can still have those gifts. And that's where we have the great debate. We're not going to debate that here. We'll get in further when we get to chapter 14 and talk about that more in depth. So temporary gifts include this: miracles, and God still does miracles; healings, God still heals people; languages, and the interpretation of languages. Sign gifts moved off the scene with the passing of the who? The apostles, that's correct. And when the scriptures were written and the Bible was completed, God's word is self-authenticating. Did you know that? What do I have to prove to you about this Bible that it's true? What would I have to prove to you? Is there anything I have to prove to you about? Well, if you're saved today, you got the Holy Spirit, you're saying, what are you talking about? Because why? Because God's Word is self-authenticating. I've got the person of the Holy Spirit. You've got the person of the Holy Spirit. You look at God's Word. That's true. Why is that true? God's Word. You've got the Holy Spirit in you. It's self-authenticating. Before the canon of Scripture, as letters were being passed from church to church, as the Gospels were being penned, they needed some signs. They needed some authentication that way. And that's what those temporary gifts were for. In the present passage, Paul mentions some of those gifts that illustrate the diversities or varieties he spoke of in verse 4. Look at verse 4 just quickly with me. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. That's what he's doing here in verses 8 through 11. He's referring to those diversities. This list in our present passage includes both permanent and temporary gifts. And this list in our present passage is only representative of the diversities or varieties because of the fact that additional gifts are mentioned elsewhere in the New Testament Bible that you have, in the New Testament of the Bible that you possess, including in verse 28. There are some more gifts registered there. If you go to Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, there's another list of gifts there. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, again, there are more gifts mentioned there. The apostle's point, his whole point in giving the Corinthians this list is not to explain the function, but to illustrate the variety. How many of you like variety? Do you like it? Do you eat the same thing every meal? Anybody eat the same thing every meal? No? Just about. But your life would be better if you had more variety, right? Oh, amen. Everybody agree to that. Yeah. So, you know, you have what? Meatloaf night? And then there's, you know, we just paid the house note, so we're having pork and bean night. Amen. And then there's ramen noodle night. No, right? But you know what I'm talking about? Variety. Variety. Well, life would be pretty dry if it's the same old, same old. But you have variety when you eat. You have variety when you wear your clothes. At least I hope you do. Amen? You wash them and put on some new ones, right? Some different ones. Those get dirty, you wash them. You got different changes of clothes. You got variety there. Variety of shoes. Different variety, right? Variety is a good thing. Amen? The apostle's point in giving the Corinthians this list is to explain not the function, but to illustrate the variety and kinds of gifts and to emphasize
the common source of the gifts. Where do all come from, church? Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. So let's just quickly try to cover the first three representative spiritual gifts that we find in this passage. Look at verse 8. For to one is given the Spirit, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. Three representative spiritual gifts. And so, again, the point is this, you know, what's the so what? The so what is you ought to be thankful. You ought to be thankful that you're part of the team. You ought to be thankful that you're saved. You ought to be thankful that God has given you a spiritual gift or gifts, whether you've discovered them or exploited them or whether you're using them or not. There ought to be a spirit of thankfulness going on in your heart. Number one, the gift of wisdom, verse 8, we just read it. It's a permanent gift. It's to be used in teaching. It's to be used in counseling those that need help, that come to somebody that has a gift. It's difficult, however, to really get a hand on because of its availability. Wisdom is available to the church today. Wisdom is available to the church member today. If you have another gift and you want wisdom, God's Word says, just ask. And you can have more than one gift if you only have one. And wisdom's not it. You want wisdom. The word of wisdom is a broad term. When we look at the Greek word here for word is logos. It indicates this is a speaking ability when we study it down. In the New Testament, Sophia, do I have any Sophias here today? Any Sophias? Any grandkids named Sophia? Any family members Sophia? You got a grandkid? Okay. Sophia? Hey, Sophia, all right. That's a good word. Sophia's a good name. Amen? What does it mean, Pastor? Wisdom. Sophia in the Greek is wisdom in our English. Sophia, wisdom, is used most often to refer to the ability to understand God's will and apply it in an obedient fashion. So when we communicate wisdom, communicating this wisdom, this gift, if we have it, communicating it can take place either corporately or individually. So corporately, it kind of goes like this. A pastor has some sources, he has some books, he has some commentaries, he knows what passage of Scripture he's going to be preaching on, so he takes the different books, he takes the different sources, the different commentaries, he reads through those, he lifts out of there some truth. He writes that truth down. He goes over that truth several times. He outlines that truth, and he tries to bring the congregation the fruit of the study of his labors. He tries to give the gift, the word of wisdom, to them. Right? That's the corporate way. The individual way is if somebody comes to a pastor or somebody goes to a Christian counselor, and they start giving all of these problems and these issues, and this is going on in my life. The person with the word of wisdom can think through the knowledge base that they have on the word of God, and they can begin to give some scripture. They can begin to give some application. They can begin to give some direction to help the troubled soul get back on track. That is the gift of the word of wisdom. But when we think about this gift, wisdom seems to be a gift given freely by the Holy Spirit. I mean, some of you, when you got saved, you got the gift of wisdom. Some of you, after salvation, you might want the gift of wisdom. Wisdom seems to be a gift given freely by the Holy Spirit, sometimes without request. You just got saved, God threw on you the gift of wisdom. And then sometimes it is given specifically because of a request. Praise God for that. Amen? You can ask for it and get it. I love the Word of God. In Isaiah's prophecy that the Spirit of wisdom would rest on the Messiah, that's found in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. That was fulfilled, that prophecy in Isaiah 11, 2 was fulfilled in Jesus, who increased in wisdom in Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Jesus then promised to give divine wisdom to His disciples. That was exemplified in the case of Stephen, who was filled with wisdom and the Spirit of God, as we read in Acts chapter 6, verse 10. And last, James tells his readers that if anyone lacks wisdom, he or she should ask God, who gives generously without finding fault, James chapter 1, verse 5. I mean, trying to really pin down the gift of wisdom and say, well, this is what it is, and this is exactly how it comes to a believer or a person, it's like trying to grasp a fish right out of the lake, man. You just can't get him, right? You got to have a net on him. Or you got to spear him. Or you got to step on him. So you got to get him in the mouth and get, you know, that way. You can't just grab him. That's the way the gift of wisdom is. It's just kind of real elusive to get a hold of exactly how it comes to a person. But that's the first one. I love it. Second one is this, the gift of knowledge. The gift of knowledge, oh man. The gift of wisdom is kind of like, what's your favorite protein, man? What's your favorite protein? Steak? You like steak? I like steak pretty good, amen? I mean, if I had my pick on protein, it'd be steak or it'd be giant Gulf shrimp, right? Well, amen, all right. You know, I don't think of turkey much. I like turkey a couple times a year. Chicken's okay, but steak, right? How do you like your steak? I like mine medium, medium rare. That's a double moo, moo moo, right? Medium is just moo, right? And then some people can take their steak, you know, they want it, I want it done all the way through. Why don't you just ruin that steak? Don't ruin that steak. You want a little juice in that steak, amen? Right? We all like our protein. I like my protein, but the steak would be the wisdom. But the knowledge, you know what the knowledge is? That's the carbs. I love my carbs, amen. You know what I want with my steak? Mashed taters, amen. With some natural gravy from the steak, amen. Yeah. And then maybe some broccoli or something green that you like that's good, right? Some veggies. And then maybe to finish that off, some sliced strawberries on some cake with some whipped cream. What do they call it, strawberry shortcake? Oh, yeah, that's good. And then a big old glass of what? Iced tea. And I want it sweet this time with the real stuff, with the real sugar in it, right? Amen. That's the knowledge. You know, man, the preacher or the Bible teacher can get up before the people and he can tell them the doctrine. He can tell them the truth. He can tell them, this is what it is. Thus saith the Lord. But when he starts to say, because God loves you, because God sent his son to die on the cross for your sins, when he starts talking about the intimacy of God's love for his creation, for humanity, that's when the doctrine begins to come into focus and make sense. It's the word of knowledge. It's a word of knowledge. What do you mean by the word of knowledge? Verse 8 says, for one is given the Spirit, the word of wisdom, to another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. The gift of knowledge, it is a permanent gift, but what I want to show you today, it is different from how the apostles had it, and it's used in teaching. The first one was used in teaching and what? Counseling. This one is used more typically still in teaching, but secondly in evangelism. What do lost people need to hear? What do lost people need to hear? Jesus saves because why? He loved us. I mean, they need to hear they're an old dirty sinner, amen? But they need to hear that Jesus is taking care of the sin problem by doing what? By dying on the cross. Why? Because he loved them. That's intimacy of God. That's the knowledge of God. That God loves us. It's a permanent gift used a little bit different than what the apostles used in teaching and evangelism. Knowledge is essentially the intimate, personal knowledge of God, which depends not upon intellect, but on love and depends on God's knowledge and acquaintance with man. Who really knows you today? Well, my spouse, she's been living with me for 50 years, or he's been living with me for 50 years. I dare say you've been living with somebody for 50 years, you know them pretty good. But you still don't know them the way God knows them. Oh, God really knows them. God really knows us. Well, He sees down in deep to us, doesn't He? He's got the pulse on us. He knows exactly the why we do things the way we do them. God knows. Right? God knows. And through the Word of God, we can get a beat on Him. And we can plumb the depths of His love that He has for us. Amen, church? See, the term knowledge signifies a personal relationship that exists between God and the redeemed person in Christ. The gift of knowledge comes to expression in knowing and understanding and explaining to the church and others, others that will listen outside of the church, others that will listen inside the church, explaining, lifting out to them the love of God revealed in Scripture and in creation. Those of you that have been there for the birth of your kids and your grandkids, do you remember that? Do you remember that? Was that a loving, wow kind of a time? Was that a bit time? It's just standing still kind of a time, wasn't it? Remember that? I mean, before I passed out after the last two were born, it was a magical time. You know what I sensed? Oh, God sure does love me to let me be a part of this. Wow! This is a miracle of God. And somebody's invited me in on this, man. Almighty God, has He loves me. Amen? Creation! Well, when I look out at the Laguna Madre and I'm trying to drown a shrimp in a saltwater trout's mouth and it all comes together and they hook up and that shrimp jumps around dancing for his life or swimming for his life or trying to get out of the way and that trout slaps him with his tail and then, boom, hits him and gobbles him down and I get hooked up. You know what I'm thinking? That's going to be good in the pan. But you know what I'm thinking? Boy, God sure does love me. Amen. You ever drop a big deer and think, man, God sure does love me. That backstrap's going to be good. Fried up in the grease. Rolled in the flour. God sure does love me. Man, when you look at a beautiful oak tree or a 30-foot tall crepe myrtle or a bottle brush that just smells heavenly, don't you think God loves you? Or you're moving too fast in life. Slow down. Smell the proverbial roses. God has put you in this thing because He loves you. Amen? That's the word of knowledge. The gift of knowledge. That's what it is to be able to communicate that. See, the gift must be expressed within the church for the benefit of all the members and consequently expressed outside the church for the salvation of the lost. They need to hear that God loves them. And you love them. Amen? See, the human writers of Scripture, they had an incredible gift of knowledge. But they had it in a unique way. You say, what do you mean by a unique way? Well, God gave them truths directly. I mean, spoke to them directly through their psyche and through their personality. I mean, spoke to them so magnificently as they were inspired of the Holy Spirit, which they recorded God's truth down for all eternity and formed this written Word of God. See, since the closing of the canon of Scripture, the gift of knowledge has involved the receiving of new truth. Does that make sense to you? There's no new truth out there. Did you know that? Truth is old truth today. There's no new truth. It is just an understanding of the truth that has been previously stated. See, anyone today, and you'll see them every now and then, won't you? Anyone today who claims to have a new truth? Have you heard those guys and gals? I've got a new, fresh word. Well, what do you have? How new? I want to hear an old word. Amen? I want to hear, just give me the true word, right? See, anyone today who claims to have a divine revelation. I've been given a divine revelation. Whoa, 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 whoa. Why don't you just give me God's revelation? I've been given a divine revelation. You better watch out. People that get divine revelations, new revelations, you know what they are? The Bible calls them deceivers. The Bible calls them false teachers. Because let me tell you something. Any divine revelation, you know what I found most about divine revelation? I've got a new divine revelation. It contradicts something in God's already stated word. What? That's divine? I don't think God's word contradicts what? God's word. It don't happen, right? If you see that or hear that and they claim to have this gift of knowledge, this word of knowledge, run, friend. Run, don't walk. Run in the opposite direction. Because God's word says, Revelation chapter 22, verse 18, expressly warns that if anyone adds to or takes away from the word of God, the revelation of God, they will be what? God's word says judged. And then finally, that's the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge. Hey man, we're right on time. Some of y'all antsy in your seat like we've been going 10, 15 minutes long. We're right on time. Amen. I told you this wasn't going to be a wow, blow your socks off your feet sermon. Hang in there, amen. You got to cover all of God's word. This is just part of it. This is part of it. Third gift. When I look at the gifts today, this is probably my favorite. And it's my favorite because I don't have it. And what we don't have, we always want. Right? What you don't have, you want. What I don't have, I want. It's just part of the human nature. It is the gift of faith. You saying you're not saved today, priest? I've got saving faith. This is different from that. This is the gift of faith. This is a permanent, still, ongoing gift. I get the hair standing up on the back of my neck talking about a gift. This is a supernatural gift right here. The gift of faith. The gift of faith. Verse 9. To another faith by the same Spirit. The gift of faith is what? It is distinct from saving faith or the daily faith by which every believer lives. This category of giftedness is limited to certain Christians and has to do with an intensive ability to trust God in difficult and demanding ways. This gift of faith is the ability to trust Him in the face of overwhelming obstacles and human impossibilities. And God, in His sovereignty, have put people with the gift of faith in my backyard, my sphere of influence. He's put these people in my path at the most opportune times. Say, what are you talking about? Without people exercising the gift of faith in the New Testament church, I wouldn't be here today. No, I wouldn't be here today. Man, this preaching thing, this pastor and knuckleheads, no offense, amen, this pastor and sinners that are saved, that are still being discipled and in a process of getting more like Christ, and sometimes rebel, becoming more like Christ, and sometimes don't want to hear about becoming more like Christ, and sometimes, well, I'm just not going to come because you're going to tell me I need to be more like Christ. This is a difficult, arduous task. You say, are you tired, Pastor? Friend, I'm about 12 hours of good rest from being tired. I don't know what you call this. Like the walking dead, right? No, I'm way past tired. But I still love the Lord, amen? I've been to 2 soccer games, reffed one of them, went to a choir. No, it wasn't choir, it was a band banquet last night. Man, I've had so much come in this head and bounce around. And then after 6 hours on the day off underneath the car in the heat, good night. And then mowed the yard yesterday after the first soccer game. What? Are we at church today? Are we really? Is this really happening? Or am I dreaming all this? Amen? I'm not quite sure. I'll figure it out in a little bit. Amen? People with the gift of faith God has put in my path. I don't know about you, but He's done it for me. Done it for me. I can talk about one man. He's not with us anymore. God's called him home. Bob Coons, he had the gift. Telling his sweet wife just last week, boy, I'm sure he missed Bob. Why do I miss Bob? He had the gift of faith, man. Oh, gosh. There are other people here with it. And I'm so overjoyed when they exercise it. I'm so overjoyed when they exercise it to me, the gift of faith. Because you know what it does? I take that letter of resignation and I put it back in the file. That's what I do. I'm not going to resign this Monday. I'm going to go one more week because of what that brother or sister said. Because what they said, you know what they said? We can storm hell with a water pistol. Let's go preach. That's what they say, stuff like that. They say, we may be down, but we're not out. They say, God's still in control. But you know what the difference is? They really believe it. They got the supernatural gift of faith. I ain't got it. Hey, man, I'll carry the flag and storm the hill because God's put me in the position of leadership. He's given me the gift of wisdom. He's given me the gift of knowledge. Man, you don't get all the bullets. Not everybody's got all the bullets. The bullets are spread out in the congregation, right? I know what I got. I know what I ain't got. I ain't got that. But, man, I love it when God sends those people in. And I love it when those people stand. I love it when those people speak. And I love it when they speak to me. Amen? The gift of faith. The gift of faith is primarily expressed toward God through prayer, appealing to and trusting God to do which is beyond His normal provision. Oh, I love these people. I love this gift. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. I love all the gifts. Amen. It's like talking to my kids. I love all of you. But I love the gift of faith. But Matthew 17, 20 says, and He said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a what? Of a mustard seed. Of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Those with a gift of faith have a special ability to claim on the promises of God. I'm not talking about wackadoo, name it and claim it, televangelism, name it and claim it. I'm talking about real spiritual of God, name it and claim it. We claim revival for New Hope Baptist Church. We claim lost people being saved. We claim BBS bringing in new families. We claim a New Hope Christian school reaching the community. Amen? Stuff like that. I mean, real biblical righteous kind of get down with its stuff. These people claim on the promises of God. See, according to God's own plan, according to His own plan and will, faith activates God. Did you know that? It gets you going, man. It really fires him up. These people that have the gift of faith, exercise it. God says, let's get in on that. Let's do something there. When Paul was sailing to Rome, Paul had the gift of faith, by the way. And when he was sailing to Rome as a captive, the ship encountered a terrible storm. Remember this in Acts? Acts chapter about 27. And after throwing all the cargo, the crew, threw all the cargo overboard. And then they decided to throw all the tackle overboard so the ship would be lightened and it would ride up higher in the seas. When they threw all that overboard, the crew went for many days without food. And the storm just kept raging and pounding and battering the ship. After all that, at the height of the danger, when it was squalling and carrying on outside, inside the ship, Paul told his fellow travelers in Acts chapter 27, verses 22 through 24, he says, yet now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For this very night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me, saying, do not be afraid, Paul, you must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. I'm so thankful he decided to share that with those men. Amen? Man, if you have the gift of faith, and God's giving you a word of encouragement for somebody in the congregation, a Sunday school teacher, a church member that is wayward, the pastor of the church, some senior adult lady that's homebound in a nursing home, for all means, share it. They need to hear it. They need to hear it.
More than you know, church, they need to hear it. Paul's confidence took special faith. Paul's confidence, Paul's great faith, exercised in the midst of disaster, laid hold of God's promise and brought hope and safety to everyone with him. Let me tell you something as we close this out this morning. On the basis of one person's strong faith, I don't know how many people in a church this size have it. I tell you, I don't think it's a lot. I'm not the fourth person of the Trinity, and I don't claim to know everything about God, but I don't think it's a lot. In the churches I've been in, there's not been more than a handful of them. But I want to tell you, on the basis of one person's strong faith, it is like wildfire when they stand up and speak. It just undergirds and strengthens everybody. It's incredible. Incredible. Well, do we just need those people? No, we need everybody. We need the folks that have the gift of wisdom. We need the folks that have the gift of knowledge. We need the folks that have the gift of faith. Throughout the history of the church, thousands of saints with gifts of faith have believed God in the face of great danger. They've often gone to their death, being burned alive, having their heads lopped off, being nailed to other crosses. They've often gone to their death with this great faith, never wavering, holding on, exercising their faith, has strengthened the faith of their brothers and sisters in the Lord. A couple of names for you. Hudson Taylor. Google him sometime. Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor believed God would win Chinese converts through him, and without any money or support, refusing to ask for a penny, God had given him the gift of faith. He did not ask for a penny. He refused to ask for help. He began what became the great and fruitful China Inland Mission. How did it happen? Because of his faith, people sent support and money. Without any solicitation, he had the gift of faith. He had the gift of faith. Not the gift unto salvation, not the gift of faith for daily living. He had the gift of faith. George Mueller. Look him up sometime. George Mueller. George Mueller, solely through trusting God in prayer, continually saw God provide for his orphanage in miraculous ways. George Mueller. Hudson Taylor. Countless missionaries have claimed tribes. They have claimed nations for the Lord. And evangelists have claimed cities for the Lord. And they have seen God faithfully respond to their faith. Amen, church? Their prayers are answered and their faith. This is what I love about the gift of faith. Now, hey, you got the gift of wisdom? You got the gift of knowledge. God hones that. God strengthens that. God grows that. You got the gift of faith. You exercise it. You pray it. You speak it. Guess what? God hones it. He strengthens it. He makes it even bigger. Amen? Amen. So, what do you want us to do, preach? Well, I want you to be thankful. I think God would have you to be thankful today. Amen? Be thankful today. Number one, that you're saved. Be thankful today. Number two, that God's given you a gift or gifts. Number three, be thankful that God's put you in a church to exercise that gift. Number four, be thankful that God wants to grow that gift in you. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We praise you, Lord. We offer up hearts of gratitude and thanksgiving. Lord, for the call that you placed on everybody's life, this call to salvation. Lord, how you've come into our hearts, how you've covered that sin debt, how you've made a way, built a bridge. Dear God, we're thankful for that. Lord, there may be one here, two here, half dozen here that have never trusted you as their personal Lord and Savior. May this be the hour of their salvation. Lord, may they get in on what you are offering today, and that is eternal life. That is a permanent relationship with you. That is ashes for beauty. Oh, Lord, you want to bless them today. Lord, may they lay down their sins of unbelief. May they lay down their sins of self-sufficiency. May they pick up the salvation that you so freely give them today. Let them walk this aisle today. Let them walk this aisle for you. May you save them among us right here. Lord, there are others that just need to come to the altar and have a spirit of gratitude about them, lifting up praise and honor to you for all that you do, for all that you've done. There are others, Lord, that perhaps need to join the church. Father God, in a few minutes when we stand, let them come. Perhaps others have received you as their personal Lord and Savior, but they've never followed you in believer's baptism. In a few minutes, Lord, when we stand, let them step out as well. Lord, may we honor you with decisions not to parade anyone's faith. Lord, we just want to celebrate what you're doing here today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us this time together. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, as we stand all over the sanctuary, Brother Jeremiah and Miss Karen are going to lead us in this invitation. The altars are open. You come and pray. You come to be saved. You come to join the church.